We're going to go ahead and get started. If you all would have a seat for me, please. Thank you.
Testing. Wait a minute. Testing. That's on me.
I am so sorry. I'm glad you were not standing there. I think it was pulled the chair out.
Good afternoon. Thank you all so much for coming to the Braddock Road proposed development for District 7 and 8. Before we get started, I'd like for you all to go around and introduce yourselves so we'll know who's in the room. And so we'll start right here on my left, but right, and introduce yourselves and tell if you're a resident or with the development team.
I'm Gary Harrison, and I'm a resident. It's my wife, Beth Harrison.
Okay. Graham Blitzer with ETM, Englinton's Miller, civil engineer on the project, so I'm with the development team.
Miles Nelson, resident, Lynn Turner Road, kin to the Murrays, B-Paws Hunting.
Judy Hall, resident.
Danny Strickland, resident.
Dana Flitt, I'm a resident on OMB Lane.
Dina Snyder, I'm a resident.
Luke Bias, I'm a resident off of Thomas Mill.
Barry Hill,
resident.
Dorothy Massey, resident, Braddock Road.
Wendell Massey, resident, Braddock Road.
Richard Hopkins, resident, Conifer Cove.
Gene Hopkins, resident, Conifer Cove Trail.
Jeff Kramer, the Thompson Miller.
Andy and Kevin Harrell, resident.
Ray Spopper with the Thompson Miller with the development team.
I'm Marshall Steele, resident on Braddock Road.
Richard Woolrich, resident of Thomas Mill Road East.
Sue Woolrich, resident of Thomas Mill Road East.
Twyla Holzerbeck, resident of Thomas Mill Road East.
Okay. And we also like to introduce our ECAs, if you all would introduce yourselves so our residents would know who you all are.
Mercedes Parker, assistant to Councilwoman Jacoby Pittman, District 8.
And I'm Rashawn Deshine, ECA to Councilman Reginald Abney.
And we also have security too, right? We have security over there in the corner.
Ken Brown, Special Deputy Counsel.
Well, thank you. It's indeed an honor for you all to come to our planned meeting this afternoon, and I'd like to turn it over to my co-partner today, Councilman Reggie Gaffney.
And thank you, Councilwoman Pittman. Before we move forward, let's introduce ourselves up here. My name is Reggie Gaffney, District 7.
And I'm Jacoby Pittman, District 8. And we are neighbors right across the street, right?
Batman and Robin.
Okay.
Ms. Duggan.
Hey, good afternoon. My name is Wyman. Can y'all hear me? Yeah, I'm Wyman Duggan. I am an attorney here in town, and I represent the applicant for this project. My contact info should be on all the notices you've gotten from the planning department about the hearings. You've got my phone number and email on there. And this is Steve Luce with the developer. Excuse me.
Good afternoon. My name is Steve Luce, and I am the contract purchaser of the property, the Braddock property. And we've been looking at this site for about, on and off, about 6 months to a year, and put our development team together, which includes ETM and Wyman Dugan, to help us through the public hearing process. So okay. Thank you for inviting us to attend this afternoon's neighborhood meeting.
Okay, and thank you. We team up together, so we both maybe ask some questions, but I think the most appropriate way to do this, we'll give the developer about 20 minutes, Ms. Dugan, if you don't mind, to speak and talk about this particular project. And then after he gets through talking, anybody may have some concerns, questions, and then we'll move that way. And then after the questions, concerns, and then I think we could wrap it up and talk about LUZ or whatever else y'all think y'all may want to talk about. Is that fair? So we'll start off with Wyman and his team. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you both for organizing this. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate it very much. So I guess the high-level overview is this land, as all of you know because you live out there, is essentially vacant and undeveloped, but has been approved for development since 2009. And back then, the city council, their predecessors, they weren't on the council then, approved a lot of development for that land, a mix of uses. And at that time, nothing ever got developed, partly as a result of, you know, what we call the Great Recession, maybe just because at that point in time, the Braddock family wanted to get the entitlements in place but didn't intend to develop. I don't know. I wasn't involved with that either. So those are development approvals have been in place all of this time. And now Eisenhower Group, that Mr. Luce works for, feels like it's a good time to start developing that land, and so they have put it under contract. It's still owned by the Braddock family, by the way, and has been all this time. And we know that with respect to some of you, at least, there's been some drainage problems, ditch maintenance issues, and we're going to address that in a minute. But I just want everybody to understand that that's the Braddock family, the current owners of the property, not anything that he has done or not done to make your drainage problems worse, but he's going to try and make them better. So the approvals have been in place. The Eisenhower Group has the property under contract. They're wanting to do residential development and retail development, which, again, already approved. They're not changing the number of units that have already been approved, the maximum number of units that can be developed. Since 2009, let me say it this way. They have done an extensive wetlands survey of the property. They've gone out and determined what lands are wet, constitute wetlands under Florida law. As you probably know, you know, if you want to build in a wetland, you've got to get permission to do that, and you've got to pay what's called mitigation to do that. So there's a financial incentive for anybody to not develop in wetlands, which is what we want. You know, we want to preserve the wetlands. So they've done, now that they have it under contract, they've gone out and done an analysis of, okay, how much of this land constitutes a wetland. And what they've discovered is it's quite a bit, more than you would think just by driving by and looking at it. It doesn't look necessarily like you know, like a swamp, except maybe some of y'all's backyards when it rains, I'm hearing more and more of. But just on a day-to-day basis, looks like just pasture land. But under the law of Florida, it's wet. And so they're trying to obviously stay out of that. They're going to do what's called clustered development on pods of what are called uplands, which are above the wetland line. And because of that, they are wanting to modify the approvals that were done in 2009, not to change the maximum number of homes that can be built or the maximum number of retail square feet that can be developed, not to change and make worse the approved traffic impacts, which a hard cap was put on back in 2009, the number of what's called trips that can be generated by the proposed development. But what they do want to do, because of the reality of the wetland amount of wetlands, the wetland acreage, they want to do what's called clustering. as I mentioned. So that means tweaking the approvals from 2009 to allow greater density in some areas because they want to develop what can be developed today, but they don't want to do it in the wetlands. So that's really the reason for the applications that have been filed. And Steve can provide as much detail as you want on those aspects, but that's why we filed the application. And then there'll be a companion, what's called a rezoning, to go with the application that we filed to change the approvals from back then. The rezoning specifies basically what units go where, what retail goes where, a timeline for development. So those are the applications that we need to get approved by the city council. There'll be a hearing process, which you all got mailed notice of, and then we hit pause on to have these community discussions. So I'm confident that no hearings will occur without unless and until your representatives are feel like we're all ready to start going to hearings. So you can rest assured in that regard. But I'll let them confirm that. You don't have to take my word for that. But we want to hear from you today. We've already heard at the Planning Commission meeting about your drainage concerns. So we've done some research on that, and we've talked to, I know Mr. Bledsoe met with Mr. Wooldridge today, went out toward the property, got eyes on the problem. Mr. Luce has asked permission from the Braddocks, who still own, essentially, as far as we know and can tell, the Braddocks own the ditches. They're the ones who are supposed to be doing the maintenance, and clearly it sounds like are not. So they've asked permission from the Braddocks to go do the maintenance right now at their cost to just make the existing situation better. And I'll let you provide more detail, or Grant, you can provide more detail on what that will be. But just to say, that was an issue that we heard about at Planning Commission, and we're taking the actions that we can take without owning the property yet to try and solve the existing, not solve, make better the existing drainage problems. And then we can talk about, once the property gets developed, what the city will require in terms of making sure that the what's called the post-development drainage situation absolutely doesn't make anything worse for y'all. Whatever water runs onto the property now, they have to accept that water. They can't build a dam and push it back onto your land. They have to take it. And then, of course, they have to hold all the water that will come from their impervious surface, their driveways, their rooftops, their amenity centers. They have to hold all that water. And so we can give you as much detail as you want on what that's going to look like, what the city's going to require. Then, obviously, we know that there's a lot of concern about multifamily and where that will go. And so we know that's an issue, but feel free to share as much as you want about that here today. We're here to listen to you. I'll stop now. Yeah. Do you want to add anything?
Yeah, that's great introductory comments. Well, I mean, I would just add that a little bit more background on the development company that is buying the property. Eisenhower Property Group is a master plan developer. We specialize in doing single-family home development. We buy the land. We take it through the public hearing processes, go through in comp planning, zoning. We go through the design process. We go out and survey all the wetlands and permit all the wetlands, go through all the city permitting processes. It can take a year to 2 years to get through all that process. Well, we're fairly early on. And I've been doing this for 35 years. And the company I work for, we have developed and are developing about 50,000 single-family lots, generally in the West Coast, Tampa Bay region, but we are expanding throughout the state of Florida at this point. Since the recession that Wyman mentioned, there's been a lot of pent-up demand for single-family homes. We're seeing the single-family home market be very strong here in the last 10 to 15 years. Our company has been sort of working with the national home builders, who are our primary clients. Once we develop the property, then we will sell the finished lots to home builders. And the home builders will then sell homes to home buyers, and they'll build the houses. So that's a little bit of background on me. Since it's early in the process, now, in my opinion, is a great time to hear from the neighborhood, I've driven the streets a few times. I think I know where, when I hear what streets you're on, I've driven those streets, so I'm somewhat familiar with the area. I also hired ETM as our engineers that are local, and they've been doing engineering and zoning work in this area for a very, very long time. They're very experienced. They came highly recommended. They do good work. And I don't know, Grant, if you want to spend a moment talking about what you found when you drove the local streets.
Sure. Yeah, I met this morning.
Grant, you're going to have to use the mic because this is being recorded.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
But you can pull it out and turn around.
Sure.
Let me turn it on.
Hey, good evening, everybody. So I'm anxious to meet everybody in here, and I got the opportunity to meet with Mr. Woodridge today. And so we walked. Actually, he drove me around. Thank you for doing that. Drove me around at the back of his property. I saw the timber service road, and we looked at that together. And it was very clear and obvious that the service road, the ditches on both sides, had not been maintained. And so thank you for pointing that out. There's a swale that runs behind his property as well as his adjacent neighbors, and that swale also needs to be cleaned up in order for the water running off of the timber service road to be captured and conveyed to the wetlands. So, you know, that was clear. We understood that. I appreciate the recommendation there. The other part of that, though, is that we need to understand what's happening around the rest of Thomas Mill Road and Raybill Road, I guess, and then where the water is running off of that. So that's what we intend to study. That's what we want to hear out today and from the rest of you that have concerns about how the drainage works there. So appreciate it. Any questions, I guess, on that so far?
They're going to ask their questions after you guys get to present. So are you through? You through?
Are you done?
Yes.
Okay. So...
Yeah. So what I wanted to say, we want you all to be open and honest because when y'all came down, some of the residents came down to the city council meeting, and we want to do this, you know, decent and in order, and we want to come up with a solution where it's a win-win on both sides. And so with that development, not only just this, that's other development that's coming, but we can prepare for that as we go into the future. As he said, I didn't realize that property had been in the hands since 2009, way before you and I. But, you know, as we have council members come in strategically, we want to make sure that we plan for the future and make sure that you all are not flooding and making sure that these ditches and the swells are cleaned out, because that's real, real important. I think that's a part, you know, on the front end that needs to get done. And just to let you all know, I've had an opportunity to work with Wyman on several properties. And Councilman Gaffney and I, before any development happens in a neighborhood, especially mine, I want to make sure that I meet with the developer first. And one of the things that they did come to me, and when they came, I said, you need to talk to the residents, because, again, we listen to the voices of the residents. And we want to make sure, you know, we lived in that neighborhood. We want to make sure that we would want the same thing that you all would want. So that's why we're here today. Please feel free to share your concerns, and then we can talk about the rendering so everybody kind of understand what goes on, what's going on.
And let me add this. Ms. Harris, thank you for taking the lead. You've been texting me almost every day, keeping me abreast of what's going on in the community. If somehow you guys not ready to move forward, we'll just defer it. We got time. I want to make sure you guys are at a comfortable level where we can continue the discussion until we can get to a point. We may never get there. At some point, I may have to move it. But the bottom line, I think this is a good start today. And so in saying that, I think the way we'll do it, I don't know if Mercedes want to take it around or if you guys don't mind lining up just maybe two or three at a time right there so you can speak in the mic and you can ask what concerns and questions at this point you may have.
Sure.
And keep in mind as you come up that this is being recorded. So even though you only have two elected officials, but the others can probably listen somewhere, but they're also going to go back, especially those on LUZ, to listen to it. And they'll learn today what we learned today. At the same time, there'll be more students of what's going on. So thank you so much again.
Yeah. And make sure you introduce your name. Say your name when you speak so we can have that on record.
Gary Harrison.
Can y'all hear? I don't know if that's on.
It's not on. It's on now.
Okay. Gary Harrison, and I live at 14960 Thomas Mill Road East, right in the middle of the 25 homes there. And so in a nutshell, there's over 2,000 acres, 2,200 acres that we're looking at developing. And I think most of the people here, the biggest concern by far, bar none, is Section 5 of the change. Section 5 of the change, what it says is that the area west of Lip Turner and south of Braddock Road would be multifamily housing would be allowed there. That area is about 200 acres. So what that means is of 2,200 acres, you got 2,000 acres that you could put multifamily on. But you now want to include the additional 200 acres that allow multifamily. Well, guess where our homes are? They're in that 200 acres. And, that's not quite fair, and that's not really what we're wanting to see happen around us. In this area, in this bill, there's 10 areas that are strike through changes, 10 areas. We are primarily opposed to one. Now, if we can't come to agreement on that one, you have to ask yourself who's being unreasonable. Okay, so that's just really a non-starter. There's not like, well, how about we put it here or I put it there? No, that's just, how about you put it on another 2,000 acres? And that's really what we're wanting. That's a fair and reasonable thing to ask for. Secondly, and this, I know that's not in this bill right now. This bill is to proceed with it as it stands, and I understand that. But at some point down the line, and as the engineering group looks at this, they're going to start laying out houses and what it's going to look like. I would really hate to see townhomes surrounding right across the street from us of our existing homes. I would really hate to see you put 40-foot lots right across the street from us. We are going to oppose that vigorously if you do that. So what I would like to see down the road, has nothing to do with this bill now, but you might as well get ready because here it comes. Put your nicest homes around that existing area. Because you know what? Those other 200,000 acres, there's nobody there to complain about that. You know, but we will. we're going to show up. So those are the two main issues, multifamily housing. And then when you do lay out your housing, which multifamily housing is all out there. Once again, just reinforce that. But we know that different types of housing are allowed. We are asking you and requesting that you put your nicest homes surrounding the existing community. That's a fair thing to do for existing residents.
Can you speak up?
Can I ask
a question? Can you? Yes.
When you say across the street, could you point on the map what you're talking about?
This is where we live at right here.
Right.
And this area right here is the 200 acres that we don't want multifamily to go into. This area right here, multifamily is already allowed. But we, these residents here and us, we don't want the townhomes and multifamily along here. You are allowed to do that now. But is it right? It's not. So what we're asking for you to do is put your nicest homes surrounding here and all through here so that we'll be bordered by something more, very comparable to what we currently have. I know you're not going to put an acre and a half lots in there. We're not asking that. That's not reasonable. And we would be unreasonable people. So what we're wanting you to do is put your nicer homes and homes, not townhomes, in the area surrounding us. And then if you put commercial in, we would like it to go as far away as we can from us as well, understanding that I know that commercial's going to go on main roads, that's not going to go on back roads, but there should be borders there, and you should try to hug the road as much as possible. Okay. And the type of commercial is very important. Some commercial makes a lot more noise than other commercial, and we don't really need that. It's a very quiet area now.
Okay.
Sam, is there one way in and one way out?
At this point, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. On the area that where they are?
I think Glen Turner and Braddock Roads, if those are the roads you're talking about, those are two-way roads.
Okay.
That's the intersection. What's the question?
One way, where is there one way in and one way out where
to
you are?
To our area?
Yeah, the 200.
Well, this is Braddock Road here, and that's a two-way road. And then this is Thomasville Road. We have a horseshoe-shaped road here, so you can make a big circle here.
Okay, that's what
this is a public road, and this is a private road here.
Okay, but there's a way you can go in, and there's a way you can come
out. That's correct.
Okay, that's what I need to know. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Dana Flint. I live at 3158 OMB Lane. I know there's some multifamily, and I asked on the first conference call if we could kind of get a grid on what you're thinking you're going to put where, because I live on the other end of all of this. I live on the other end of the 2358.
You can point.
I'm over here. I know where I am here. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be ugly, but I can find me here.
Okay.
Okay. I am right here. Okay. I'm right there. And the back of my land is already wetlands. And I had embraced that when I bought it. I had to sign a disclaimer, the EPA come out, you know, all of that. And so I would like to know, we live on a dirt private road. It doesn't connect to anything. We have one way in, one way out. So are you going to connect to us? That's a question I would like to know.
I don't think where you're pointing is where we would put a roadway. So the main roadway that we will bring north of Lem Turner will be Braddock Road. Right, that'll be extended into our property, and then development pods, if you will come off of that extension.
Okay. Well, again, this brings me back. I multifamily butted up to the end of my road. There are wetlands at the end of my road. I can tell by the trees because the EPA gave me a very thorough lesson when I bought my property. The gentleman spent about 3 hours identifying trees with me. Okay. So at the end of my road, there are wetlands, but I would like to know, is there a map where I can tell how far the wetlands are out from there? I know that's probably crazy.
Grant, do you have a map that shows wetlands?
We don't have the wetland map with us, but we do have a map that shows it. Where were you pointing?
I'm sorry. I was blocking it.
Are you at Peretti?
No, I am right here on
Egerton.
Sure. Yep.
Off of Egerton. So we're one way in, one way out. There's a dead end. We can't. So Lem Turner is our only way out. Something happens, Lem Turner is it.
Right.
Okay, so sometimes we have to sit at that stop sign already 15, 20 minutes at peak times to safely get out because they're running 70. Mm-hmm. They're getting it. Or more. They're not supposed to, but...
Can I ask one question on that issue? So what you see on this map is the red dotted line.
Yes, sir.
That is going to be that's the conceptual extension of Braddock Road that's going to go all the way up to the, Arnold Road that leads to the cemetery. That's what that red dotted line shows.
Okay.
So what I heard you saying at first was, please don't connect to us. But if you had a connection to that new Braddock Road, you wouldn't have to get out. You had a different way out from waiting at that stop sign at Lem Turner. I'm just asking, do you have a preference?
Well, right here where we are, it looks like you're going to build right behind us, behind the other side of my street.
Well, that's certainly like land that they have under contract. It may be wet. They may not build on it.
Okay, see that if they are building on it, are they going to connect to Egerton? So we'll put more traffic on that road.
Very, very preliminary look at the design is not connecting anything to the
east. Okay, because I'm just worried about traffic because, again, we have that little, it's supposed to be two lanes wide, mm-hmm. but it's really not.
Okay.
And we sit at that light or that stop sign, and if something happens, we have no way to go anywhere. So if you're going to put more traffic on that little two lane, whatever.
Right.
Gotcha. That's going
to cause a
hiccup, so to speak. And that was my concern in multifamily. We built a house out there, and you can build. I have no problem with building. Just build it like what we have that butts up to us. I don't want to come out, and I bought 2 acres, and I'm hearing birds and seeing turkeys, and then I have a 5-story apartment building right there. So, like he said, if you can put something comparable to what we have up against us.
Right.
Where I'm not a... Everybody's got to have a place to live. I'm cool with that. Just...
Thank you, ma'am. I'm going to make sure we can get everybody... give everybody a chance. Thank you.
My name is Andy Harrell. I live on Thomas Mill Road next to Mr. Harrison. So I have a question to the developer.
Yes.
And I would like to know whether you would offer an amendment to your bill that removes the strike-throughs that allows the multifamily homes on the 222 acres that surround our subdivision before it goes any further, particularly before it goes to Tallahassee.
I'd like to, if you don't mind, I'd like to hear everybody in the room, and then probably I can give you my opinion about what we would do. But in general, I don't have the first gentleman that talked and the idea of not putting it in that quadrant. The way it used to be written, I mean, we can almost go back to the way it's currently written, right?
Yeah, that's my request, is the strike-throughs in that section that prohibits it.
Mm-hmm.
Changes it where it allows it, and that would go a long way. It would take a lot of steam out of any opposition you have to this.
Yes.
And we would appreciate it if you do that.
I'm starting to get a sense of that right now. So, can I get back to him? And commissioners, can I get back to him at the end of the meeting?
Yes.
Yeah, you can get it. So as you listen to people, you'll contemplate it and then
yes.
You'll answer my question.
Yes.
So what me and Councilwoman Pittman would hope to happen for you guys to hear the concerns, and if for what reason we can defer it and give you guys a chance to go back to whoever you need to talk to, and if it's okay with Representative Duggan, we'll come back in another couple weeks and start from there, and then all the concerns and questions you got today, you can kind of answer them as best as you can, and then they'll kind of tell us how we need to move forward, if they feel comfortable moving forward, okay? So you don't have to make decisions today because I know how this goes.
Yeah. Are you all on a timeline as well?
We are, but while we're doing this, this is, in my opinion, the most important step.
Right. On the farm.
After this, it's all engineering, right?
Right.
So I need to hear what's the right thing to do.
Right.
So if I come back in 2 weeks, like you suggest.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
Ma'am, come on, young man.
Hi, I'm Catherine Harrell, and I live on Thomas Mill Road East. And thank you, Mr. Gaffney and Ms. Pittman, for arranging this meeting with Mr. Duggan. And what is your name again?
Mr. Luce.
Luce?
Yes.
And I know that you mentioned that this has been approved for development since 2009. But I'm not sure that those strike-throughs were present at that time.
That's correct. They were not. Those are changes that we're proposing.
So
you're correct.
That is entirely the thing that I'm opposed to. And so if you were to correct that in item number 5, and we wouldn't be talking about multifamily housing, I would drop my opposition entirely. And you said that, you know, you're interested in the, you specialize in the single family homes.
We do.
Like, you know, that sounds great. And so I don't even see any point having the multifamily use on there, since that is your goal there. So I'd really appreciate that if you would drop that off.
Okay. Hey, I'm Dina Snyder, 15015 Thomas Mill Road East, and I just want to go on record as dittoing everything Mr. Harrison said. Another thing is, I am this home right here, and there were some propositions that I looked at that appeared to have a road coming straight at my front door and a road coming straight at my side door. So, I'm opposed to that, obviously. And this might look like a lot of land, and you walked around my home today, I guess. But when you take all these trees out, it's not a lot of land. And to have traffic right next to my home, I'm firmly opposed to. Also, one other thing to take note of. My backyard, and everybody here, has the landing, what is it, the approach. We've got our airplanes landing right down here. So whatever homes you put in here, I wouldn't think you would want to go very high, because those guys are low. I took a flight to Miami, and coming home, I looked out the window and said, oh my goodness, they can actually see if people are walking around down there. So yeah, it's really, really low, so you don't want to go high. So I'm firmly opposed to multi-housing behind me. Yeah,
okay.
And in front of me, because the sunset, you guys, the sunset, you're going to mess up my sunset.
Hello, my name is Richard Woolbridge. Middleman Kent. I agree with Mr. and Mrs. Harrell regarding the item 9.5 that affect the parcel that goes around our neighborhood, which is a 222.25 acre parcel. My opposition is the multifamily housing in that area, as they say there. And then Mrs. Snyder mentioned the air traffic there. One of the runways, approach to one of the runways, starts right along here, going in. And some of the planes come in quite low, so low that they create a turbulence, so strong that you may think about grabbing the fence. And if you have houses in here, things in the yard, trash cans or whatever, it's going to whirl them around. Plus there's the noise from the weekend warriors, and the Air Force has a large, I'm sorry, Air Force has a large plane that comes in. I forget what the name it is.
They're trying to reach you.
Probably Social Security warning they don't cut me off. Okay, so there is a serious problem here. I don't know what the rules are about how close you can have houses and an approach to a runway. But one of the other ladies, the lady holding her hand up, she had a signed agreement with the airport that she would not sue.
For hearing loss.
The airport, if she lived there.
Say that again now.
She had a signed agreement when she bought her property that she would not sue the airport regarding noise issues with airplanes.
Oh, okay.
When I built my house, they made me sign at closing a disclaimer that there was noise pollution where I was building, and that due to the being within so many feet of the airport, I could not sue them or take any kind of action against them for the noise in my area.
Now, are you the only one that has that agreement with the airport?
I'm the only one that has built out there
recently,
so to speak. All of the other homes were built long before I got there, so I don't know if they had to go back and get something signed. I just know I did.
Okay.
I had to.
Dana, how long has that been?
I have been there 12 and a half, almost 13 years.
Okay. Thank you. Good. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I've addressed the drainage, and it's. I'd like to thank you for sending Mr. Wetzel out.
My pleasure.
And it was a much easier show and tell type thing. But the ditches are, this one here is the remaining, there were two Lim Turner's stormwater ditches. There were two. This is the only one left. The other one came in about right here, cut through the neighborhood, and then joined in to the existing stormwater ditch. This one's over 1,000 feet long. And it's in the area where you have high ground that you would want to build on. And the neighborhood, the land, the slope of the land flows this way. And a lot of the water, we depend on ditches that are located on the Atlantic land and connecting to the stormwater ditch. We have one right here on this road here is Timber Service Road, two there, one here and one there. A lot of water from the intersection Thomas Mill Road and Thomas Mill Road East. It flows that way, tries to make its way, but it's been overgrown over the years and blocking it, and now water's backing up. And this home right here, belonging to one of them, Mr. Strickland's property, water on some occasions has gotten up into his barn where he keeps horses. So the back part of his property, a good segment of it, is at least ankle deep, because the water cannot make its way to this stormwater ditch. So without this ditch and the tie-ins to it that cross over the Braddock land, we're in trouble with flooding.
Yeah. I'm going to have Grant tell me what he recommends be done. I'll figure out how much it costs, and I'll hopefully get him out there in the next week or two.
Great.
Now, I don't know if that's that. I didn't over promise, but I'll get with his schedule and see if he can make it happen.
That's basically it. Another issue I'll have to bring up, most of the streets in the neighborhood are also in this parcel you're buying. Yeah. You'll be buying the ownership of the streets. There are, most of it, is, except for one part, is paved. It's a private road approved for public use. That's most of Thomas Mill Road East, Ray Will, and the dirt part of Thomasville Road. You'll be purchasing that also.
Yeah.
So we're curious to know what you're going to do with it.
That's kind of a quirk of the acquisition. We're getting 2,000 acres and also a couple streets in your neighborhood.
The late Mr. Ray Braddock, who developed this neighborhood, he was taking care of the streets, and he eventually paved part of Thomas Mill Road and got it turned over to the city. They accepted it. And he continued maintenance on that road when he had potholes and whatever. When he developed this, the family lawyer pointed out if someone got hurt on this road, he'd be liable for it. So when he sold the houses down this way, this direction of Thomas Mill Road East, he sold each homeowner half the street to relieve him of the liability, or try to. Yeah. So,
if you don't mind.
Oh, I'm sorry. You miss anything?
No, it's for the recording.
Okay. All right. So we're concerned about the streets, buying those. The same issue came up when Mitch Montgomery was going to buy this land back a few years.
Can I ask
one
question?
Sure. So when you say there are approved private roads, the city standard for an approved private road is a 50-foot wide right-of-way. I doubt, you tell me, do you think there's 50 feet there that is between property lines?
I think 60 feet.
You think it's 60 feet? Okay. So, and you don't have to answer it on the spot, but be thinking about what if he improves those roads to public road standards or approved private road standards and dedicates, well, public road standards and dedicates them to the city, or approved private road standards and turns them over to y'all. Be thinking about that. I'm not asking anybody to think answer
my
that today.
My saying is, turn over to the city, you have to pay them.
Right. Yeah, that's what he would, that's what I'm asking the question.
I'd like to have because that would bring in street lights.
Is that a real road? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The city would maintain.
We're not going to swap you paved roads for multifamily housing.
No. I know. But I'm just, you know, sometimes people don't want, I've seen neighborhoods not want the roads to be public.
Yeah.
They want to keep them private.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm asking if you have a preference. But these are the folks who can help, you know, if you don't want sidewalks, they can say, we won't require sidewalks, you know.
Mr. Ray Braddock, there was a special window of time that the city would take over neighborhood dirt roads if you had a couple houses on it. But he was late getting started, and there wasn't any houses here, so he missed the window of time for the city to take over and pay the street at the city expense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He missed that window of time.
Yeah, I would recommend, just FYI, working with a development that's not far from you, and originally they didn't want the city involved, and because some of the residents kind of took on their own and did their own swells or their ditches, there's now problems. Whereas if they had let the city come in and pave the roads and we call them ditches or swell or whatever, but it's a real problem now because there's a lot of erosion, especially the areas that have wetlands on them. It's just not working. So if that's something for consideration for you all, I would suggest that you do that, because then the city would maintain those areas. Like, you know, of course, the ditches is right now you're saying the owners need to take care of that, but that hasn't been taken care of. And so now you're having backup and issues. So that definitely has to be cleaned out as well.
So are you saying you're putting the ball in our basket to contact the city?
No, I think what she's saying is work with him if they got an interest in trying to help them.
Yeah, to do it on the front end, you know, where the development is going. Okay. Yeah, but I'm just saying, I'm bringing it to your attention because that happened in another neighborhood. And because of, you know, the ditches are now, you know, clogging up, and they had not been cleaned because they wanted to take that on as a responsibility, but now it's very expensive, so you don't want to do that, especially if y'all don't have a H, you know.
The late Ray Braddock paved that one part of Thomas Mill Road, and it was $55,000 just from here to here.
Right.
$55,000, that was back ways. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for again sending your engineer out. I really
And thank you. Let's keep moving if you don't mind.
My name's Luke. I live on Thomas Mill Road. I'll be short and sweet. I just want to voice my position on the multifamily. That is the main reason why I'm here, main reason why I burnt time for work to be here. That shows how passionate that we are and that we live in a smaller community. But I think if you look at the amount of people compared to the houses that are here, that you know, the numbers are pretty good for our small area that we're at. So I believe most of us are here pretty much to say no to multifamily. I was going to bring up the roads, but Ken already brought that to y'all's attention. I was kind of curious about that, and I appreciate y'all going that way.
Sure.
So, but thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I thought I had more time. Okay, my name is Sarah Hill. I'm 22. Me and my husband live on Braddock Road, right off of Linter. We just bought a house in October, and we just moved in this past Saturday. One of the questions that I had was, are you going to two-lane Linter? I know Mr. Randy was talking about, I live on this house. So I'm going to know, like, he said something about the parkway. Is this going to be two-lane? Because if it's two-lane, then it takes my property, that's my front yard.
Braddock
Road. Yes, sir, right here. It takes property off my yard. I'm also looking at crime rate. I work at Terry Parker High School, so I know my area code. And I mean, I'm not from Jacksonville, but that's where I work. I look at driving into traffic every morning. You know, the apartment complexes that are right across the street from Terry Parker. We look at the crime rate that brings in when it happens at multifamily homes. It's not about who lives there. It's about the quantity of people that works there and lives there. Just those are the questions that I'm asking. You know, me and my husband, I lived on Curtin and Atlantic, and I lived in a townhome. And we bought up here for the purpose of not being in multifamily. Because I don't want to look in outside my window and see somebody get dressed. I don't want that. I don't want black people. I work as a teacher. I don't know what happened. I like single family homes. It would be, and I don't want my property value brought down because somebody bought a townhouse that is $120,000 and I bought my house for $350,000. So that's one of the things I
want to look at. Yeah, we are just getting started on doing a traffic analysis,
yes,
right, to figure out does it need to be four lane or not. Grant, do you have any idea yet whether or not
have you studied that?
Trigger?
Jeff Graman. There are several other projects going around in that area. Several of them are down Braddock Road. They're doing traffic studies on those piece by piece.
Okay.
But right now, it's very difficult to tell on Braddock. I know Lem Turner's in the cost feasible plan to be widened in the next 20 years or so.
20 years now.
It's been in there for a while. But as far as Braddock, I don't know of any plans for that.
Okay, I just wanted to hear. And if we had a crime rate analysis of like what's going to happen when the family, multifamily homes get put in, if we want to look at that as well.
Okay. Go ahead on, sir.
Hi, my name's Dwayne Kubak. I'm at 15010 Thomas Mill Road East. So I'm looking at this very far corner property right here, you know, next to this big, beautiful view I have out my kitchen window. You know, part of the reason why we bought the house just 2 years ago. I grew up not far, just right up the road here in Callahan. I moved away for 20 years. I wanted to come back home. And as a kid, I was always envious of this neighborhood. It was kind of a take a ride with your parents, drive on through, look at the beautiful houses. You know, so it's kind of a little bit of a dream for me to live in this little tiny community. And, you know, we've been able to make that happen. Unfortunately, as soon as we moved in, COVID hit. We really haven't been, you know, everybody out in the neighborhood and so forth. Hopefully we're getting a little bit back to normal. So I haven't met a lot of the people here yet, other than, you know, letters through mailboxes and so forth. But I just wanted to express my big concern. I understand the development part, but Mr. Harrison was right on point with how my wife and I feel, where, you know, the last thing I wanted to see here, looking out this beautiful picture window of this 7-acre lot right here, is, you know, to see multi-unit, you know, multi-family units. You know, and I'll just leave it with that.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Marshall Steele. I live on 14510 Brandon Road, part of the Conifer Cove or Forest View subdivision.
On the other map, Marshall.
The other one on the other side of the...
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Looks like it's going to be right in here. Where you see the Braddock Road as it comes over. So here's the thing. For me, it's really just two things. One, I feel like all these projects are getting just railroaded through. At the meetings that we had before, they said, well, the developments meet with the rest of the neighborhood. Well, we have 1.5-acre lots. We're now talking about 5 homes, 10 acre. How is it, you know, in the same? So to me, it's not. The other thing is Braddock Road going to be getting a lot more traffic. I mean, right now, you know, it's pretty easy to get through. It's going to turn into Atlantic Boulevard. Is it going to turn into Dunn Avenue or Beach Boulevard? I don't think a lot of people saw that coming, and it's not what we, you know, built for. I think if the lots were bigger, nobody's going to have it. They don't need to necessarily be an 1.5 or 2 acres that you see there. If they were 1 acre, yeah, a lot of people could probably live with that. I certainly could. But that's been the biggest thing. And for me, those are the two concerns that I have. Thank you.
And thank you.
My name is Wendell Massey. I live on Braddock Road. We've been in Jacksonville for 47 years. I came down here and taught chemistry at college for almost 3 decades. We built our house 32 years ago on Braddock Road. The college of the rural area, that's what we want. And plan to live there until I'm 77 years old now. I didn't live there till we died. But, of course, the density is what everybody's talking about. And the worst case scenario is multifamily units in terms of density. That dumps. The traffic is a major concern. People talk about the wetlands and drainage, I agree. And everything they're saying, I agree with. But there's several other developments being put on Braddock Road. And I think, if I'm right, if we looked up, there's about 7,500 total units so far. And not only will that crowd Braddock Road, but everybody's got to turn. Even if they make a cross across Braddock Road, that doesn't really go the deep way that people want to go. They want to go up to 295 and that way. Everybody's about to turn. And you talk about slowing traffic down, how about when they're coming home at rush hour? Them turning a road right now at rush hour is a nightmare.
And at 60 miles an hour.
People have to, I mean, there's going to be a calamity of epic proportions on that road. And traffic lights, yes, but that's going to slow it down even more, but they'll be necessary. Dunn Avenue is almost, they can't turn down there. That's already, it is Westport and Rolling River Estates, and those poor people are trying to get out of there. And I don't think they can turn left. It's a mess. So the bottom line here is the density is just going to be too high, and multifamily dwellings are going to exacerbate the thing beyond repair. And if all of this goes through, everybody's going to realize down the road the mistake was made, that there'll be no way to correct it then. And they'll have to four-lane them to our road. That's coming. That's been talked about for the last 2 decades. But how long will that take? And how in the world are they going to make a four-lane out of it when you've got 50,000 automobiles trying to get to the interstate, you know. It's just not going to work. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Afternoon. My name is Milo Nelson. I am resident of 13901 Lantern Road. First, I'd like to say thank you for putting this on. I think that's great. We're starting here, I guess, with this side of the development. I speak for, as I'm saying this, because all of my neighbors and family could not be here and couldn't get off work. I was fortunate enough, I was able to get an early flight out of Detroit yesterday to be here for this meeting. This week, I was actually out in Dallas. I don't know if any of you have been in Dallas in the last few years. I hadn't. It had been about 6 years since I've been in Dallas. Wow. It's crazy. Every cow pasture there has got a development in it. The one thing that I noticed different, and I know Wyman and I chatted about this in the last city council, I said, well, why don't we go to homes like Nocatee? And he was like, hey, the same builder's building in Nocatee. Just coincidence. But what I saw when I was there, the houses that they're building in Dallas, the new developments, they look fantastic. They're using nice stone, they're nice neighborhoods, they're spaced out from each other, and this is for miles in the Dallas suburbs, the DFW suburbs, right? So that's, I think that's an important point to know. It's the look and feel and the distance to the size and the distance away from the homes, the number of homes per acre. Now, as a disclaimer, not only am I interested in this, but this is the big one for me. And the reason is because this little triangle right here on Lynn Turner Road, right there, my family has been there for a little over 100 years. My grandfather was born in 1942 in the house that my parents still live in, part of the Murray family. He is also owner-operator of Bee Paws Honey. Right, so we actually utilize all of the family property on both sides of Lynn Turner for making honey. I don't know if any of you, I know a lot of our neighbors uses, you know, we all work together. Big community, right? Somebody, I don't want to be redundant with what people already said, so I've taken notes to make sure that I didn't do that. One point that was brought up about hearing and noise, I don't have a document, I wish I did, where I could show you. All of our animals, dogs, horses, cats, any animal that we've had for a long period of time, we have horses that are in their 20s. In addition to all of us, have all experienced hearing loss of being that close to the Air National Guard. Right now, they're running F-16s. Next year, they'll be getting F-35. I don't know if you know the difference, but there's a massive noise difference between the two. I'll tell you what, I will hold a barbecue, and I will invite all of you over, and as soon as the jet comes over and turns up and goes straight over my house, if you don't plug your ears, I'll give you a paycheck. You have to plug your ears. It is deafening. And in this and all of this development, it is right under the flight path for the Air National Guard maneuvers and when they're doing touch and goes. They do it three at a time, several times a week, back to back. And it is absolutely miserable. So think about that as you're marketing this to customers, which ultimately, to my opinion, drives the property value down. Now, next, FDOT study. Looking at Braddock Road and Lynn Turner, there's a significant amount of accidents, and I brought this up in one of the city council meetings, is what is the accident study? In the gap between Laney Road from Laney Road, all, or just say the Nassau County line if you want to. It's another half a mile. But from the Nassau County line all the way to 295, how many accidents and deaths, fatalities have occurred in the last 10 years? I know I've had 15 accidents in front of my house on one Turner. I watch it daily almost happen. I watch people come by doing over 100 miles an hour passing. So Lynn Turner's long overdue for four-lane. But what that does is if we four-lane it and we put a median in Lynn Turner and sidewalks and everything else, the eminent domain or the egress that is taken puts Lynn Turner right up against my kid's window. Okay, I've had trucks in my backyard. I woke up in the morning with an F-150 pickup truck sitting behind my house in the woods. It missed all the trees and the power pole next to my house. We've had it go through our fence. So, to me, the additional traffic has got to be addressed. I get it. It's coming. You guys are going to develop the land. But what I ask is that we develop it the right way, right? And when we do these FDOT studies, that we don't piecemeal it. When we look at this, we look at this holistically, all together. And we don't just look at how this affects Lynn Turner and this affects Lynn Turner. Right. Because the traffic right now, if I leave at 7:30 in the morning to go anywhere, right, it takes 10 minutes or more just to pull out of my driveway to get on Lynn Turner. Yep. Without getting hit, run over, and I got to look both ways because it's a double dot, it's a dotted line to make sure that somebody's not passing coming from the other direction. It is crazy. Every dog I've ever owned has been killed on Lynn Turner. Lynn Turner is dangerous, and it's still labeled as an arterial roadway.
Oh.
It is not arterial. It's 60 miles an hour, full-blown traffic all day long. It's crazy. In addition to the Braddock development, this is also being proposed and has already been approved for many years, right? And it didn't get developed back in 2008 because of the recession. But now, recently, this road frontage has been... Well, the plan is to change it to commercial. A good friend of mine just bought my great uncle's old property. Okay? He is a VP for a banking institution here in town. He's also a military veteran. He bought that to get him and his bride away from the beach where they work. And now, right next to his home, it's now slated for commercial. Now, somebody brought up what type of commercial. We don't know. But is it a gas station? Is it a retail space? What are they going to put right across from me and right next to my good friend?
Can I ask, give me a marker so I can have an answer for you. What about?
So it's hard to see. Does this map show that better?
No. It doesn't. That's too close in.
I think I know what you're talking about. You're talking about down there by Purser Road?
Not that far.
Pace Road.
That's further back.
Pace Road. Well, it's just out of frame.
I know what you're talking about.
It's right here. Right there. So we're talking
about that. And
that's also the challenge, is understanding that difference in the way that split between
the that's what we're trying to figure out. It's like right across.
We're always going to work together.
Yeah.
So it don't
make
a difference.
Same thing in schools. It's split across from the turn, right?
Yeah.
But that, again, looking at it holistically, how that's going to impact with both of these developments, plus what's going on Laney, plus what's going on Lynn Turner. You know, I know that in the past there was a proposal in the city council with the land use committee, zoning and planning, to have 295 Lynn Turner surveyed. Right? And I know that that was shot down. I don't know what ended up happening, but that was in preparation for all the developments going in on Lynn Turner and at Lynn Turner 295 to redo the exit ramps. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. But when all that happens, all of the road frontage from everybody that lives in this small little piece that gets forgotten is going to be lost. The way that we live is going to be lost. We all have horses and cows and dogs and kids. So when we look at the multifamily use, there is no multifamily use anywhere in this area. When we look at commercial, there's no commercial anywhere in this area at this time. So now we have the ability to do it right and to set up a future for our kids. Right? When I look at the developments that are going in off of Dunn Avenue, right, there's several new developments going there. Also, too, off of Main Street, on the other side of 95 and this side of 95. They're all cheap spec homes. Cheap spec stucco homes, $150,000 to $200,000 homes that are built very cheaply. You can walk in and look around and you can look at the cheap, shoddy work that's being done. That I don't want done. Because what that does, what does that bring? That brings low-income families that can barely afford a home, but they want to be in a single-family home, but they can't afford it, so they do it anyways. And they buy junk. And then what happens is after 10 years, they need a new roof and they need new walls. And they can't afford to fix it. So then the whole house and the whole neighborhood goes to crap. You can look around Jacksonville and you can see that happen. That's what we don't want.
That's right.
Recently in Clay County, are you familiar with the flooding issues after development in Middleburg?
Let's see if you can kind of wrap it up, if you don't mind.
Quick question. Are you familiar with the flooding issues that happened with the developments in Middleburg? It is absolutely, please just do a quick Google search. When you get back, First Coast News, look at the flooding that's going on with all the new developments that they're putting in. They're not accounting for drainage properly. I have friends that are experiencing this firsthand, and their yards are underwater. So, and I'll wrap it up with this, and thank you for giving me extended time. I want to make sure that I preserve what I have. I intend on building on my 2.5 acres. My parents intend on building on their land, right? I have two young boys. I want to preserve that for them. I changed my career around being home and staying here and not moving further out. We love where we live. I don't think anybody in this room doesn't like where they live. We just want to make sure that we set everything up that is conducive to the environment that we have built and build our families and livelihoods around. Thanks again for putting this together. We appreciate you for doing this because we know you didn't have to. So thank you.
And thank y'all for coming out. Let me tell you where we're at. So I'm on LUZ, and what we're going to do is defer. Please don't come this Tuesday, and we're going to defer it, okay? We'll come back here if it's God will in 2 weeks. We got to make sure we can utilize this. And somebody else may have it, but I'm going to leave that under Ms. Pittman. We'll come back here. Hopefully Mr. Luke can have some questions and as well as the answers to some of y'all concerns, and we'll talk about it. I'm not sure what he's going to bring back and what his counter proposal is going to be, but I will tell you this, being on LUZ for 6 years, you headed in the right direction, but always remember this, compromise better than nothing. Because I have, and I got the data, I won't tell it to you, but we had over 200, the last 200 and I think 45 land use zoning, about 85%, a little higher, gotten approved, and where most of the community, and I'm gonna use Braddock Road, which they came out like you guys came out in numbers with money with everything else, but at the end of the day, about a month ago, they lost 10-8. They touch our two hearts, and they touch other hearts, but what they didn't do is compromise, and so I think a clear path for you guys to win is make sure that if we're going to be voices for y'all to say we compromise, and that makes our job easier to sell it to the other 17. So thank y'all for coming. I'm going to allow Ms. Councilwoman Pittman and then the other two to say a couple words, and when I see you in a couple weeks, go ahead, Ms. Pittman.
Well, one thing I want to say is that knowing how to navigate through the process, we're on a great start, and, you know, when you all came last week, we immediately called Mr. Duggan, and he actually said, okay, not a problem to meet. I think at this point, you know, knowing what you will compromise and what you won't compromise with, and I'm not going to really repeat what you said, but we don't want to drag this out. It wasn't even a month. This happened 2 weeks ago. We're only 2 out of 19. And so, you know, as we go through the process, just know that you need to talk to all of the council members to make sure. Duggan and his team always do a great job at doing that. But to make sure that we all win, we have to make sure that everybody's involved and engaged with us on the front end. I have learned my lesson, although my colleague has been on the council longer than I have. I was on LUZ for 2 years, but he's been on there longer. But as this community grows, you know, the areas grows. And so we want to make sure that we have smart growth in our area. I am a big proponent of strategic planning. You know, I have some areas on the west side of my district. And because of what our predecessors did before us, we can't go back and fix it because there are individuals, as I said, that own land that has just been holding it. So we have to make sure if we're going to develop that we develop it smart and that we have a strategic plan and an implementation plan to make sure when your children, your grandchildren are still living in the community, that it's still a safe place to live. and FDOT have been in the process. They're doing some studies, again, which you mentioned. They did study a few years back, but at that time, there wasn't a whole lot of development or movement in that area. But within the last year, during COVID, there's been a lot of movement. So they're in the process of looking at traffic lights, looking at, you know, the study going down J.V. Johnson. That area. So that whole area, and he and I are just right across the street from each other. So, you know, we try to, you know, get the developers, make sure they come to us first, and then we come to you all, and then we have meetings like this. But I just want to say thank you all for taking time, to fight for your community or where you live and keep us abreast of what's going on. Because a lot of times when we get it, it goes through planning, and sometimes it don't go through LUZ. You know, so especially if it's already zoned for something, we just have to make sure that we hear what you're saying and we're all on the same page in the beginning. So that's all I have to say. I want to say thank you all for passing along the information, and I want to thank our ECAs for setting this up for us on a Friday afternoon. But we are here for you, and know that you can call either one of us at any time to hear what you need to say. Okay?
Closing up.
Sure. Sorry. Thank you again to both of you for setting this up and making yourselves available. And I echo the thanks to the ECAs. But most importantly, I want to thank all of y'all. I've been doing land use work on behalf of developers for a long time. This is one of the best community meetings I've ever been to. And from the standpoint of the community, really having already focused on what it is that it would like to see and not see, and providing that to us in a clear way. So thank you for that. Thank you for the sacrifices you made to get here today. We heard you loud and clear. I'm going to let him add whatever he wants, but I'll say I'm sure we're going to factor in everything we've heard from you today when we come back in a couple of weeks and work with y'all to move forward.
Yeah, just to wrap up the meeting, just thank you, Council Members Gaffney and Pittman. Appreciate you setting this meeting up. Great opportunity when you're not in a public hearing,
right?
Where you have to make a final decision, and it can be very stressful. I found this experience to be very productive. And to echo Wyman's comments to you, I took a lot of notes, heard very clearly what your positions are on a couple of different issues. And so I work for a company that has, we self-finance a lot of the work, but we also have investors, so I need to go back and talk to them about what we may want to do. I'll talk to our development team and engineering, see if we can do it. And I know I promised one gentleman I'd give him an answer. We're at the end of the meeting.
Mr. Harrell.
But Council Member Gaffney suggested 2 weeks. That saved me from making a decision right here and now. But I will talk to my folks and come back in 2 weeks with an answer for you.
Okay, thank y'all, and thank see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
God bless
you.
Y'all.
This is the best way to save us a whole lot.